Okay, so we're still in Shar HaBusha over here. Last time we went through the four madrigos of Busha, I believe on Friday that's what we left off with, the different madrigos from the lowest to the highest of Busha, and we're up to Amru Chachamim. So, Amru Chachamim, Kala Osa Dvar Avera Umizbayishbo. Anyone who does an Avera and he's embarrassed by the Avera that he did, so the Busha is part of the Kapara of his Avera. He's going to have a mechila for his Avera because he feels a sense of busha over the fact that he did the Avera. So that guilt that he feels and that embarrassment that he feels over having done that Avera, that's a very unpleasant feeling, and apparently that helps to serve as a kapara for his Avera. Va'on amru, and Chazal also say in Pirkei Avos, boshas panim l'gan Eden, that a person who has the proper amount of busha will go to Gan Eden, that he's going to be zocha to a lot of brachas. Like we mentioned before, in the Orchas Tzadikim's view, busha is a gateway midah. It's not only a midah in its own right, but it sort of is a opens you up to many other brachos and many other midos tovos. And therefore, someone who's a boshas panim, it's not just that you have this one good thing about your life, and everything else you do terribly, and you eat chazer and boala rayos and mechal shabbos. Well, but I have a little busha, so you go to Gan Eden. That's not what it means, but it means that a person who has the proper amount of busha won't be ochel chazer and boala rayos and mechal shabbos, and ultimately he'll end up in the right place. Va'amru chacham l'cham say, habusha v'ha'emuna mechubaro zu l'zu. Busha and emuna relate to each other. Why? Ki habayshin machzik be'emuna im kol adam. Now, emuna over here, I don't think he means, like what we refer to, what we commonly refer to as emuna, which is emuna in Hashem, in the existence of God. That is one of the levels of busha, as we were discussing, having the level of busha where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you and you have this profound sense of emuna in Hashem, but that's probably not what he's referring to. Over here, he's probably referring to trustworthiness, that a person who has a sense of busha is also very trustworthy. And someone who's not trustworthy is not going to have busha. Meaning, it takes a certain amount of chutzpah to lie and to cheat and to steal. You know, when someone says, "Is that yours?" and it's not yours, to say, "Yes, it is," it takes a certain amount of chutzpah. Someone who has a sense of busha won't be able to bring himself to do it. So even if he's not such a religious person or whatever, he just has a sense of busha, he's not going to be able to say things that are untrue and to steal and to cheat. When a person doesn't have busha, he'll do anything. He's just not embarrassed about anything. So he's a loose cannon. He'll try anything and he'll have no inhibitions. Busha gives the person some inhibitions. It will prevent you from doing things that are crazy. To prevent a person from doing things that he shouldn't be trying. So that's the value of one of the great values of busha. Now the Orach HaTzadikim shifts gears a little bit. He says not only is it good for you to have busha, but it's very important for you to recognize the quality of busha in other people as well. And by recognizing that quality, it means to recognize that other people will be embarrassed by certain situations you might put them in, and to not put people in uncomfortable situations where they're going to be embarrassed. Now, embarrassment could mean, obviously, not let embarrass someone publicly. That's Yahari Val Yavar. That's the Gemara says about Tamar and Yehuda, the Gemara says in Sotah Daf Yud that it's better for a person to throw themselves into a furnace than to embarrass someone publicly. Minola mi Tamar. How do we know that? Because Tamar said that the guy who owns these things, he's the one that impregnated me. Instead of just saying it was Yehuda, she could have just said it was Yehuda, and that would have been the end of the story. No, she allowed Yehuda the opportunity to deny it, and if he would have denied it, she would have gotten killed. Meaning Yehuda would have said, "Okay, I don't know who the guy is that owns those things, even though it was all his." He could have said that, and then she would have gotten killed. She would have been thrown into a kivshan eish, and she was willing to take that risk rather than to embarrass him and humiliate him publicly and say that it belonged to him. So the Gemara says clearly, and that's what Tosfos points out. Wait a second, that means it's Yahrig Val Yavar, that a person has to get killed rather than embarrass someone publicly. So Tosfos essentially says, yeah, in a chinami, you have to get killed rather than embarrass someone publicly. The reason it doesn't say it on the list in the Sech Sanhedrin, it gives the list of the three Harig Valyavars, is because embarrassing someone publicly is not explicit in the Torah, and that list is only about Averis that are explicit in the Torah. But in a chinami, there may be other things that are Harig Valyavar. That's not what we're talking about over here, embarrassing someone publicly. That clearly is is a very, very terrible thing to do. The Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva refers to it as an Abizrayu of Ritzicha. He also thinks it's Yarek Valyavar. He thinks it's an Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim, that it's like murder. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting study on that issue in particular. What do we assume is the Shita of Rov Rishonim about whether embarrassing someone publicly is Yarek Valyavar? Meaning, most Rishonim don't talk about it. They don't talk about whether embarrassing someone publicly is Yarek Valyavar. The Rambam doesn't mention it. As far as I know, the Rashi and the Ritva and the Ramban, most Rishonim, they don't mention the issue whether embarrassing someone publicly is Yarek Valyavar. The two Rishonim that talk about it say that it is Yarek Valyavar. It's the Balei HaTosfos and the Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva. So do you assume, well, if everyone else is shoseik, no one else says anything, and the only two Rishonim that talk about it say it is Yarek Valyavar, so there's only one Shita, that it's Yarek Valyavar, and therefore it must be Yarek Valyavar? Or do you say, no, there are only two Rishonim that come up with this tremendous Chiddush, that something beyond the big three are going to be Yarek Valyavar, the other Rishonim don't even mention it, and therefore it must be Rov Rishonim assume that it's not Yarek Valyavar. Okay, that's an interesting discussion to have in the sugya of Yarek Valyavar. That's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about now what the Aruch Tzaddikim is about to introduce is, I know that I'm going to do something that you don't want me to do, but I also know you're not going to tell me to stop doing it. You're not going to tell me that it's making you uncomfortable, that it's embarrassing you, that it's humiliating you, because you're embarrassed to tell me that, because I'm either your superior, your boss, your parent, your teacher, your professor, your rebbe, whatever it is, your older sibling, someone who's stronger than you, whatever it is, someone that you're uncomfortable to be assertive enough to say, stop it, I don't like that. So it's usher for me to take advantage of your busha, knowing that you're going to have the busha to try to stop me, so it's usher for me to take advantage of that and do things that make other people uncomfortable. So that's what he says in this coming paragraph. Le'olam yargil adam atzmo. A person should get in the habit. Shelo ya'ase davar shechavero misbayish lomar lo. Don't do something that someone else is going to be embarrassed to tell you that they don't like it. Kigon, adam sheyish lo davar seser. A guy has a secret. The chaveru nichnas etzlo, and you walk right in to him when he's doing whatever he's doing privately. And you know that he's in the middle of telling a secret. He's in the middle of having a private conversation with somebody else. And you walk in, hey guys, what's up? And like, he's clearly having a private conversation, but he doesn't want to tell you, get out, we're having a private conversation. He doesn't want to say that to you. He's embarrassed to say that to you. And you just hang out there. You just hang around and, ruin their conversation and take away the ability for him to continue that conversation. So that's usher, to put someone else in that uncomfortable situation. You should walk out if you see that it's a private conversation. Or you're a guest at someone's house. And like, he invited you for lunch, and like, lunch is over. And like, dessert is over, and like, it's time to move on. And you're just sitting back and relaxing and enjoying yourself. You should see, like, if they're handing out the benches, like, probably you should go along and participate in the benching at that point. And not just, just one more story. I have just one more thing. I got to tell you this. No, if it's time for you to be a guest is over, so then it's over and you leave. A lot of times this happens, not so much when people are guests at people's houses. Usually it's the reverse. When people are guests at people's houses, the host sometimes holds the guests hostage. The guests assume, I'm coming for lunch, I'll be there for a couple of hours. And it goes on and on and on. Not everyone's so eager to stay there forever and ever. Okay, whatever. But where this comes up very often is by Bikur Cholim. A lot of times someone will come to, you know, they'll stop 45 minutes in traffic, you know, or it's 45 minutes without traffic, you go to Manhattan, that's where a lot of the good hospitals are, so you go to visit a chola, and you end up, you're in the car in rush hour in New York for an hour and a half, and you're like frustrated and hot and whatever, and you go to the, to be mevaker chola, and the chola is not really up to having a guest. But, you know, I waste all my time. I slept all the way out here. I'm not going to go visit the chola. And the chola is not going to tell you, get out, you know, but they're tired and they had a bad day or they just had something happen to them or some treatment or whatever. They're not going to tell you to leave. But a person has to realize that they might be embarrassed to tell you to leave, but you have to be wise enough to know that when you're being a help and when you're not.
That's so hard to know because men have to be embarrassed to ask you to stay also.
Right. Yeah. It's a good thing for a chola to have if they have a close relative who could sort of like be there to protect them. You know, and that's not everyone has that. But if people have someone who could be there to, you know, whisper in people's ears, you know, you just went through something very rough. Get out of here, or like you know, you're really welcome now. It's also a good idea sometimes, all the time, in advance. Would you mind having a visitor now, or is now a good time to visit, or something like that? Because they'll tell you. I mean, when you're there, they're not going to tell you to leave, knowing that you were sitting in traffic. But if you ask in advance, would you like me to come now? So sometimes they'll say, yeah, I would really love the company right now. And sometimes they'll say, it's just been a rough day, maybe come tomorrow. And, you know, because if you're not there, they'll tell you that. But you should try not to put someone in that kind of embarrassing situation. But you're right, it is very tough. I've definitely had situations where I was staying away because I thought they weren't interested. And you know, but you ask enough time, you know, you ask in the right way, and then someone will say, you know what, they could really use you here. They really wouldn't mind if you came. Okay, and sometimes, it's just once around the topic of Bir Cholim, it's important to be mevaker the Cholim, not so much for the Cholim, even the Cholim, but the families that's sitting in the hospital all day and is not a Cholim, and is just sitting with their relative who's a Cholim all day long, needs a little chizik, and needs a little, needs someone to talk to, and needs, you know, some cheering up or whatever. So sometimes you go be mevaka that person, and that's also a very great chesed. It's a tremendous, and it also gives them the opportunity to vent, because a lot of times when a person is sick in the hospital, so the person who's with them the whole time can't complain to them how much they're going through watching their relative suffer. They're watching this relative suffer, and they can't complain to the suffering relative, to the sick relative, oh, it's killing me to see you like this, it's hurting me so much. They can't say that. They're not allowed, you know, that's a terrible thing to say. But they need to say it to somebody. They need to vent to somebody. So they need someone, the psychologists say that you should be able to draw circles, like the inner circle, the dot, right at the center of the circle, that's the chola. And you draw a circle around that, and that's people in the next level, his closest family members. And a circle around that is the friends, and then a circle around that is maybe acquaintances. And the rule is, and this is it's a good idea to have in general in Bikur Cholim, the rule is you're allowed to complain to people who are in a circle further away from you, not to anyone who's closer toward the center. You're not allowed, it should be usher to complain to anyone who's closer. You're not helping when you complain to the chola how terrible it is to see them like that. And the rule is, if you are in a further away circle, you must listen to anyone who's closer toward the center. You have to let them vent toward you because they need that. They need to be able to let it go and to let it out on someone who's not quite in their situation. So that's a very important thing. A lot of times when dealing with cholim, what people like to do is they just need to know. They want to know everything. It's like, what happened? What does he have? What does he say? What medicine is he getting? And then what happened? And then what? It's not about getting information. It's about trying to be mechazik somebody. And you know, sometimes people feel like, you know, if someone's a chola, then like I need to be as close to them as possible, even if I'm not really that close. I need to have all the information. I need to be the one that's on top of everything. I need to, and that's also not appropriate and not healthy to all of a sudden be their best friend. Where were you the rest of their lives and you weren't their best friend? So you know, you daven for them. You should definitely daven for them. and visit, but not like live with them if they're not, if they don't even know you that well. So it's important to recognize boundaries. But anyway, he's talking on the simple level, just not putting someone in an embarrassing situation where a person is going to be embarrassed to tell you to leave when they don't want you there anymore. Or you pick up someone's phone and you start reading his texts. And you happen to be his Rebbe, so you're like, oh, well, he's going to tell the Rebbe not to read his text? Well, sometimes, yeah, sometimes. But, you know, that you're going to sit there reading that, that's a total invasion of privacy. You shouldn't, unless you're worried that the person is doing something dangerous or something like that, if it's a L'Sam al-Dam Re'echa situation. I don't mean that you can extend everything that in your mind you think is not appropriate to turn that into, to somehow translate that into danger. If dangerous, if he's really doing something dangerous, the only exception is if you tell them in advance, like a parent buys a kid a phone and says, I'm buying you a phone on the condition that, you know, I installed software on the phone that I read your text or I'm allowed to read your text. If that's the deal that you have in advance, then the kid will know to be careful, to erase all of the text that he doesn't want you reading or whatever. Like, but he has to know to be careful, or you know, to tell his secrets elsewhere, not, you know, not via text, you know, off one of his other 18 devices that has texting capability that the parents don't know about. So he should have the knowledge to, because to invade someone's privacy like that, he's going to be embarrassed to tell you not to. That's not right. Yedaktik ma'od v'davar. Person should be very, very careful about this. Shelo yachbir atzmo b'shum davar. That he shouldn't be a burden, I think it means. Shelo yishal davrim mimenu. And you shouldn't ask for things. Shum matana, any sort of gift. O lishal kelev ma'osav. Can I borrow that? Can I borrow money? And you know the person's not interested in lending you the kli or the money. B'makom shiyodeh shechaveiro ino osir b'ratzon. You know he's not happy to do that. He's not willing to do it. This is actually a violation of one of the Aseret HaDibros to do that. When you're asking someone for something and you know that they're not interested in giving it to you, but they're ultimately going to give it to you because you pressure them enough, that's a violation of Lo Sachmor. You're not allowed to covet something that's not yours. And you know that he's embarrassed to turn you away empty-handed. A person who himself has the Midah of Busha is going to properly appreciate what other people's Busha means. Meaning it's important to work on our own sense of Busha. If we work on our own sense of Busha, we're not going to put other people in situations of Busha because we'll have a recognition of what it feels like. In general, it's always, you're always stronger in Ben Adam L'Chaveiro when you can put yourself in the other person's shoes. When you know what it's like to be in the other person's shoes. If you haven't been there before, it's very, very hard to relate to the other person. You know, just as an adult, you know, when dealing with teenagers, the hardest thing to try to do is just like try to remember what it was like when I was a teenager. You know, try to remember what the pressures were like, what the social pressures were like, what it felt like, what, you know, different, and certain things are just, you know, even though it was like a million years ago and there weren't that, you know, the realities of, you know, of many of technology and a lot of other things changed, there are certain basic things that are fundamental to the human condition that have not changed. And a person has to try to put themselves in the other person's shoes. If you're able to put yourself in the other person's shoes and you know what it feels like, you remember what that feels like, well, then you're going to relate to it in a much, much stronger way than if you than if it's foreign to you, than if you don't know what it feels like. Now, here's the part that I don't understand. If anyone has an English translation over here, does anyone have an English translation? I don't know. So maybe you'll help me out over here. Al tohav mi bnei adam. Elamisha Mara Atzmo She'inu Yachol Lamod Bilti Ezrascha. No, tohav means you shouldn't ask for things. You shouldn't, you shouldn't impose on people unless you see that they can't exist without your help. Va'afal pisha atat tzarich le'ezraso yoser mimashu tzarich le'ezrascha. And even though you need his help more than he needs your help, anyone know what this is about?
Love.
Don't,
make
yeah.
Him like you're his best friend.
Unless he really needs your help.
Vim techtalo,
or don't do bad to him. Vim techtalo, and if you sin to him, hu yimchalcha, he will be mochel you, viyara atzmo ki'ilu hu achote. And he will make it look like he's the sinner. I think it's like you're putting someone in a position where where you're developing a relationship that's going to end up being a one-sided relationship. That's what I'm guessing over here. Sure. That, yeah, meaning where he's never going to want to make you look bad. So you're putting him in a position where if you ever do something wrong, he's going to take the hit. He's going to take the blame for it. So don't develop that kind of relationship. Your relationship should be a give and take. It shouldn't be where he should always be, you know, you should always have the upper hand. And he'll ask from you things that he doesn't need so that he won't be embarrassed. Again, not really sure what that's about. And the next two lines, I really have no idea what it's about. So I think next time we'll pick up from Yesh Mevayesh Eschavero. And if anyone could figure out what those couple of paragraphs mean, I'd be greatly appreciative.